Brother Ray has chosen a very timely subject, especially for the beginning of a new decade. His subject is Waiting Upon the Lord.
Thank you very much, Brother. I was a little concerned when the elders asked me to speak, and then added to it, "And please speak slowly so that we can translate what you are saying." Oh dear. I was certain after having Mikolai here for 2 years now that you would be used to our language. Anyway, it is with great pleasure that we bring the love of the Melbourne class to you where I meet, the love of the Polish class in Melbourne, also the love of the class in Sydney, which also includes the Italian brethren there. We have the love of the Adelaide class in South Australia, which also includes a couple of Greek-speaking people. And also, while we're up in Sydney, there are some Spanish-speaking people as well. The love of the class in Perth, and also the love of the class in Queensland, which is in both Brisbane and in Nambour. And they all asked that as we travelled around that I was to pass on their love, and also especially the love of my mother, Sister Audrey Grant, who has been with you about 12 years ago and also has met several of the brethren. And also, while before the advertising rates go up, we have a convention in Nambour in the middle of July. The exact dates we will have published in the Dawn, we hope, in the next couple of months. And then in September, we are having a convention in Canberra. Now, there is only one brother and sister there, and yet they go to the trouble, and I know all of the brethren here that put on the different conventions know the troubles that put it on. Well, this husband and wife put on a convention there in Canberra themselves in the hope of attracting some response from the general public as well. Our theme is Waiting on the Lord, and we take this from Psalms 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The whole creation finds its highest good, and in the end, even life itself, by one unalterable law, waiting upon the Lord. Not in the sense of serving the Lord, but waiting on him to act, relying on his providence. The psalmist understood this matter very well, and the psalms abound with the expressions of the great benefits obtained by those who wait on the Lord. And exhortations to diligently cultivate this trustful attitude. The ant does not need the same kind of food as the cattle or the birds or the wild beasts of the earth. But it is as true of the ant as it is of them. These wait upon thee, that thou givest them thy gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Psalms 104, 27 and 28. God shows forth his attributes of wisdom and power and love in that the life and happiness of every single creature is dependent upon him. He pours forth to them, according to their capacities, the richness of his goodness and supplies their every want and need in his own way. The lower creatures wait on the Lord for the setting of the seasons, and if the climatic conditions are not right, they do not produce their offspring, because they know that the seasons ahead have not provided for them. So the very nature of all earthly creatures is simply to wait upon the Lord and to receive from him what he alone can give and delights to give. For it is his eternal purpose. He planned it that way. As the psalmist says in 145:15-16, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfies the desires of every living thing. Wait on the Lord. We are of the earth earthy. If we think about it, we shall have to conclude that in this one basic aspect, we are no different to all of the rest of God's earthly creation. We read in Psalms 104:14-15, he causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthenest men's hearts. We have a duty and a necessity to wait on the Lord. It is our true position, the place for which the Creator planned our existence and gave us life. God planned this earth to be able to sustain myriads of living creatures of all kinds. And as earth's crowning glory, he created mankind, perfect, a fitting monarch of this wide domain. And why this seemingly limitless creation of living things? That glory might rebound to him, that his name might be glorified, not only in the lower creatures, but most of all in mankind, the highest of all earthly creatures by God's own design. God is exalted as the great provider, and not one of his creation can endure for a moment without his good provisions. As we read in Acts 17:38, in him we live and move and have our being. Wait on the Lord is part of our very nature, the first necessity of our being. It is our true place and glory as creatures blessedly dependent on our great Creator, our all-glorious God. It is God who giveth all. May this truth be deeply engraved in our hearts, as we read in Psalm 104:29-31. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure for ever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. Psalm 25:1-5 contains some good thoughts. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. My salvation, on thee do I wait all the days. Also in verses 20 and 21, O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. We see here the absolute need of waiting on the Lord and the absolute certainty of divine guidance. On thee do I wait all the day. Waiting for the guidance, waiting for the instruction, is a very blessed part of waiting upon the Lord. And this is what sets mankind above the rest of the earthly creation. While all are dependent on the Lord for life and all things needful to their special circumstances, mankind alone has a yearning for communion with the Lord, a desire for guidance and instruction, and a wish for close contact with his great Creator, even as with a father. Not only is special difficulties and times of perplexity, but in the common course of everyday life, we may count upon him to teach us his ways and to show us his paths. King David's lovely shepherd's psalm is a perfect example of waiting on the Lord. Listen to verse 1 to 3 from this standpoint. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What deep and abiding trust is displayed, reliance on the Lord for guidance in every affair of life. Even in untoward circumstances, there is no fear of neglect, no thought of anything but good coming from the Lord's hands, as we read on in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5 displays not only a meek waiting for the necessities of life, but a deep trust that no enemy is able to overcome. Such is the fullness of the Lord's providence. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This reminds us of the prayer that our Lord taught his disciples. Remember, the prayer is directed to our Heavenly Father. Give us this day our daily bread. While we are not to be neglectful in obtaining the things needful, we are to remember that every good and perfect gift cometh from the Father above. Have we watched the birds feeding? They use their God-given powers to seek out their food, each one which is suitable to their needs. The ant and the lion are as busy in making proper use of what their Creator provides for them, so with us. Our Lord, in his providential leadings, sets the table, but by nature we must be busy about making use of his good gifts. However, we are greatly blessed above all of the lower creation. More than that, we are greatly blessed above our fellows. Our Father has prepared a table for us, consisting not in earthly food and drink, but in the living bread which comes from heaven, and in the water of life to refresh us day by day. I am the bread of life, said our dear Saviour, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. Our Father has prepared the table for us, even in the presence of our enemies. It is for us to make the effort daily to use and to assimilate his good provisions, that we shall be able to say with the psalmist, my cup runneth over. Verse 8 of our psalm is an expression of heart completely at one with the Creator, and therefore certain beyond any shadow of doubt that this higher power, this wonderful shepherd, will sustain us and provide for our every need, not only here and now, but in the eternal future. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the ultimate confidence of waiting on the Lord. No trials or temptations can beat our courage down. No enemies can disturb our inner peace. We are sure of the providential leading of our Heavenly Father, and we can rest secure in the knowledge that His future for us will be more glorious than anything we can hope for or imagine. Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. On thee do I wait all the day. In our seasons of prayer, we specially surrender ourselves to the divine guidance. This should be followed up by habitual looking upwards all the day. For one who has eyes, it is a simple thing to walk all day in the light of the sun, enjoying its radiance and warmth. And it is just a simple thing for one practiced in waiting on the Lord to walk all the day in the enjoyment of His light and leading. Waiting on Him would then become our highest joy, the natural and spontaneous response of our hearts to His great love and glory. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27 and 14. The psalmist had just said, I have fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If it had not been for his faith in God, his heart would have fainted. But in the confidence, assurance in God which faith gives, he urged himself and us to remember one thing above all, to wait on the Lord. One of the chief needs in our waiting upon the Lord, one of the deepest secrets of this blessed and blessing, is a quiet, confident persuasion that it is not in vain. Courage in believing that God will hear and help, that we are waiting on God who never can disappoint his people. Be strong and of good courage. These words are frequently used in connection with great and difficult tasks, and in prospect of combat with the power of strong enemies and the utter insufficiency of all human strength. But waiting on the Lord, in what way are the words be strong and be of good courage used? The deliverance from which we often have to wait is from enemies in the presence of whom we are extremely weak. The blessings which we seek are spiritual and unseen, things impossible with men, but heavenly realities. Our heart may well faint and fail. We are so little accustomed to holding fellowship with God, and he on whom we wait so often appears to hide himself. We who have to wait are often tempted to fear that we do not wait aright, that our faith is too feeble, that our desire is not as upright or as earnest as it could be, that our surrender is not complete. Amid all these causes of fear and doubt, how blessed to hear the voice of God. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Let nothing, nothing at all, keep us from waiting on the Lord, in full assurance that it cannot be in vain. Nothing was ever so sure as the waiting on the Lord will bring us untold and unexpected blessings. The whole duty and blessedness of waiting on God is that he is such a blessed being, full of goodness and power and life and joy, full even to overflowing. God is love. That is the all-sufficient warrant for our expectation of an outpouring of the blessings when we wait on the Lord. It is his delight to impart his blessedness to his children. We read in Proverbs 3 and 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding." It is necessary for the mind to gather knowledge from God's word and prepare the food by which the heart with the inner life is to be nourished. It is with the heart that we believe and come into communion with God. It is the heart that must trust and love and worship and obey. Our minds are utterly unable, however much knowledge we may possess, to maintain our spiritual life. Our heart must wait on the Lord for him to work in us. It is God who worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure, we are told in Philippians 2 and 13. Reason may tell us that God's words say, but it is quite unable to assist us to feed on the bread of life that the heart alone can do by its faith and trust in God. So after we have studied or heard God's word, we must create from our own thoughts, putting no trust in them, but open our hearts before God and seek fellowship with him, that we may grow in grace as well as in knowledge. We may know with the mind, but we believe with the heart. Let your heart take courage, all ye that wait on the Lord. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 16 and 3. Psalm 33, 18 to 20 tells us, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." God's eye is upon his people, and their eye is upon him. In waiting upon God, our eye looking up to him meets his looking down upon us. The blessedness of waiting upon God is that it takes our eyes and our thoughts away from ourselves and occupies us with God. We worship him in his glory and in his love, with his all-seeing eye watching over us, that he may supply our every need. Let our whole habit of waiting upon the Lord be pervaded by abounding hope, a hope as bright and boundless as God's mercy. The fatherly kindness of God is such that, in whatever state we come to him, we may confidently hope in his mercy and recognize in him our only source of help, our shield from all that may assail us as new creatures. Let us humbly say, "Our soul waiteth upon the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Let thy mercy be upon us, O Lord, according as we wait for thee. Psalm 33, 20-23. Let us strengthen and encourage each other in this exercise of waiting on the Lord, that each may not only say for himself, but for his brethren, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. There is an interesting little lesson for each of us in Psalm 106 and verse 13. A lesson indeed which we must learn if we would be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. After recounting the crossing of the Red Sea by the Israelites in their flight from Egypt, and remembering the song of praise which they sang at their deliverance, the psalmist adds the pitiful indictment of their following ways. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. And so calamities befell them. Let it not be with us. In our dealings with our brethren and with the world, and in our efforts to develop ourselves in the fruit and graces of the Spirit, let it not be said that we waited not for his counsel. Whatever our undertakings, let us humbly wait upon the Lord, seeking his counsel. Give time for his will to be made known to us. Time is such an important element in all of God's plans, and we may be tempted to think a decision on such and such must be made immediately. In our haste to do good works, even, we might be tempted to act too hastily, without due regard to the mind of the Lord, and without waiting for his clear instructions on the matter. We are likely to find our well-meant plans going astray, and that which we so much desired to see rebound to the glory of God in ruins at our feet, all because we waited not for his counsel. On the subject of humbly waiting on the Lord and continually watching for his providence on our behalf, the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19 is helpful to us. Many unseen things had already happened in Elijah's life. He had been fed by the ravens as he hid by the brook at the Lord's command to flee from the king's wrath. The widow's cruse of oil did not fail all the time she fed him. And Elijah, by the Lord's power, raised her son from the dead. When a showdown was arranged between the priests of Baal and those who were on the Lord's side, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices which Elijah had prepared, proving beyond doubt who was the true God. Surely we'd have felt that Elijah would have been greatly strengthened by all of these experiences. However, when the wicked queen Jezebel threatened his life, he fled. How soon had he forgotten? Eventually he lodged in a cave on Horeb, the Mount of God. He bitterly complained that he was the only one left who served the true God. I'd like to read from 1 Kings 19:11 and 13. And the Lord said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there was a voice came unto him and said, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" Elijah was looking for big things. It was only when he realized that God works in quiet ways as well, that he hid his face in his mantle. He realized that he had no righteousness of his own to give him a standing before the Lord. Moffat's translation renders the still small voice as the breath of a light whisper. In this, Elijah at once recognized the presence of the Lord, and in deep humility he wrapped his face in his mantle before putting himself in a position to hear what the Lord had to say to him at that time. In this attitude of waiting on the Lord, Elijah learnt that his faith need not have wavered, for the Lord was in complete control of the situation. He immediately set out to fulfill the further commission which the Lord gave to him, assured that the presence of his God would continually be with him, and the mantle in which he wrapped his face became an instrument of power. We Christians have a mantle. The robe of Christ's righteousness, covering our imperfections and allowing us to deal with our Heavenly Father. We also have to wrap our face in our mantle, to wait on the Lord and to listen to him in deep humility when he would make known his plans to us. At times, like Elijah, we become disheartened, disappointed, and dejected, imagining that we are forsaken, that we alone have tried to uphold the ways of righteousness, but the forces of evil have been too much for us, and we feel the pangs of defeat. So we too, like the psalmist, have to say, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord."
Thank you, Brother Ray. Indeed, patience and faith and trust all develop together, don't they? And then we'll ask Brother Ray to dismiss us with prayer and ask a blessing on our noon meal.
Our most gracious and ever-loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have had this opportunity this morning to come and to listen to thy word. We ask that the lessons that we've had this morning, that we may take them into our hearts so that they will help and guide us. We ask that you bless the food that has been prepared for us, that the strength it may give us we may use to thy will, and that thou guide and bless our fellowship. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.